the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race, till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark, with not a ray of light. Tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse from his sweet face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Amen. On. All right. He saw me looking at this thing. I quit learning about computers and electronics back when DOS 3.1 went out. Some of you know what that is. Some of you don't. It's an honor to be here tonight. I would rather be sitting where you are listening to Dr. Smith, but since he's asked me to preach, I am honored. And I appreciate y'all being here. I don't know about you, but my tank starts running on near empty by Wednesday evening. And this is a hard service to make it to. I appreciate you being here. And we need the Wednesday evening service. I need the Wednesday evening service. And I pray that this message will be a blessing to you. It kind of goes in line with the song that was sung. I appreciate Brother Combs singing about life's trials. We're going to talk about the process tonight of Christianity. No, I'm talking about after you're saved. It takes no process to be saved. It takes the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, plus or minus nothing. So I'm going to talk about after we're saved, but I'll leave it open if you are here tonight and you know not our Savior Jesus Christ, that you'll come at the invitation and accept Him tonight. And if you need to come from baptism, come by all means tonight and take care of that. Find in your Bible 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. We're going to spend a lot of time in 2 Timothy tonight looking at warfare, looking at how Paul prepared Timothy for the battle ahead. You say, was it a physical battle? Well, I bet at times it was. But you know what? It was a spiritual battle back then, and quite a war that was going on spiritually to maintain, to preach the gospel, to uphold the faith. If you would find 2 Timothy chapter 2, And I'm going to read a decent amount of Scripture here. It'll be the best part of the message. I can't go wrong if I just read a lot of Scripture. So stand, if you would, with me, 2 Timothy 2. And I'll begin reading. It says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And let me give just a bit of background. Paul, this is about 66-67 A.D. Paul is about to be put to death by the Emperor Nero for being a Christian, for preaching the gospel. So his life is short, his time is limited. And you know what? He's exhorting Timothy, his son in the faith, his son, about some things he's going to need to be a successful Christian. He's telling him about the process that he's going to have to follow, some things he's going to have to do and have in his life. And those same things will help you and me tonight to be the Christian God wants us to be. Let's look on verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Great Sunday school verse. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Verse 5, "And if any man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Verse 8, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer." I want you to pay close attention to the word suffer. We'll see it a few more times. "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even into bounds, to bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Thank God tonight. We may be persecuted up into death one day, but this is not bound. This is not bound. Verse 10, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us." Verse 13, "If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." And finally, verse 15, you know it well, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word of God. Now look over at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is almost the conclusion of Paul's writings. He's very near death here. He's saying, "Timothy, this is my life, and this is my expectation for your life." Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll just read three verses, beginning in verse 5. Again, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." And verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And I don't think Paul was bragging here. He said, "I have kept the faith. I've done what the Lord asked me to do as a Christian." And I think he's just laying it out for Timothy, saying, "Timothy, you're next. Are you going to keep the faith? Are you going to fight the good fight? Are you going to suffer? Are you going to endure?" Those are some questions we ought to ask ourselves tonight. Hey, we endure some things. We endure some things. I think Mrs. Bedrowski tonight is enduring some things. Probably undeserved. Who wants back pain? And many of us face it. And we're just going to talk about that tonight. Suffering, one of the things in the process of Christianity. 2 Timothy is written again to help prepare and to train Timothy for the battle. Let me talk about the battle very quickly that we face. Well, we only battle the flesh daily. We only battle this wicked world daily. What else? We only battle Satan daily. I'd say we have a battle on our hands. I'd say you probably have met one, if not all, of those foes today. I met the first one right as I woke this morning. My flesh said, "Why did you wake? Let's get back in bed. You'll be all right. Be late." And then I met the other foes later in the day. And you'll meet them too. And Timothy did, and Paul did, and any Christian will. Our battle, the flesh, the world, Satan, our purpose to glorify God in all this is to bring God glory. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." We're here to bring God glory. We're not here to bring ourselves glory. I'm not here to preach tonight to bring myself any glory, only the Lord. Glory. And that's our purpose tonight. And if I ask a question, I don't want to see a showing of hands, but who has found the Christian life easy? That's a misconception. You get saved and everything's going to be easier. That's not the truth. That's not the Christian life. And that's what we're living in. It's a hard life, but it's a very, very blessed life and the only life I'd want to live since being saved. I want to ask you a question tonight. In the way of a title, I've titled this, The Product Requires a Process. You think, well, what does that mean? The product requires a process. You say, what are we talking about here? Manufacturing? No, the product, your life. What product do you want out of your life? What are your goals? And we could fill these altars tonight. Everyone would have goals. I want to be a great Christian. I want to be a great soul winner. I want to be a good family man. I want to be a good husband, a good wife. I want to make a 4.0 in school, in college. Amen? Didn't make one of those. I'd like to have. We have goals, and we can fill this altar and lay out the goals before God, and that there is nothing wrong with that. And we should do that. But here's where we fall short. What's the process behind those goals? Do we ever stop to think something's got to take place to reach that goal? Many goals I haven't met. I never stop to think, hey, that's a lofty goal. If I don't put some elbow grease into it, some prayer into it, some study into it, I may never reach that goal. Discouragement sets in. Why are some pews empty tonight? Why is the balcony almost completely empty? We have some new converts. They didn't see this. Well, I've heard a lot of new converts with very lofty goals. I want to do this for God. I want to be in the bus ministry next week. I want to never miss church, and I want to read my Bible through. But it doesn't happen always. It doesn't happen always. And it's sad to see the casualties of Christianity. So I want to preach a message called The Product Requires a Process, or The Goal Requires a Process. And I believe with Friend Day upon us, I believe with Christian life, with our three enemies, we need to understand the process tonight. What it's going to take to reach those goals. And this can help everyone in here. And I had in mind our academy kids. Hey, you want to pass some classes, don't you? Yeah, I want my kids to pass some classes. They want to pass some classes. From our eldest senior in here. Listen, I don't know if Miss Badger's eldest senior. Miss Badger knows my heart. That lady has some goals. And she has a prayer life. And she puts some of these things into practice tonight. But the product requires a process. Let's pray. Lord, just pray you take these words and use your humble servant tonight to preach, to be a blessing. The Lord, just say some things from the Word of God that have been a help to my life. I pray they be a help to your people tonight. Lord, I have nothing to say of my own. Help us to look at Scripture, and Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us at the invitation to, Lord, just desire not only some great goals for Thee, but the process, and desire the hard work it's going to take to reach them. Lord, may it help. And Lord, may you save any lost soul here tonight. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, be seated. And look back a few books in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. I want you to see Paul's goals for Timothy. And we'll spend a little bit more time just considering Paul. You know, he didn't tell Timothy, build the greatest church. He didn't tell Timothy, you've got to have 1,000 souls won to Christ each month. He didn't tell Timothy, you have to start a Bible college in 5 years. You know what's missing is he never really gave Timothy specific goals to reach. He talked about the process. He talked about the warfare. He talked about the trenches. He talked about the valley. Because that's where we live. I don't know how many goals I've fallen short of. Many. 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 I live in the trenches, folks, and you do too. That's where we need the help. But look at Philippians chapter 3. I just want you to see the goals that Paul laid out for himself. And they're spiritual goals. They have Jesus Christ in mind. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. There's a goal. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. See another goal. And be found in Him. I see another goal. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. I see another goal. And the power of His resurrection. There's five goals. And the fellowship of His sufferings. There's the goal number 6. Being made conformable unto His death. Now this is heavy stuff, folks. This is the life of Paul, the great apostle, the great missionary, the great Christian. These are heavy things. But you know, he was worried about the process. He wasn't so much worried about the head count, the numbers. He was worried about the process. Being made conformable to Christ Jesus. The fellowship of His sufferings. Those are tough things. And we're going to dig into a few of those. Christ was very, very involved in His goals. And when He told Timothy to war good warfare, to fight a good fight, to finish your course, and those things He did. He was more concerned with the process tonight. More concerned with the process. Oh, He had lofty goals. I know He did. But He was concerned about that process. Now consider your goals. Hey, most of us have the right goals. I don't know anybody in here that would say, I don't want to know more. And I'm going to prove it to you. You're here tonight. Nobody made you come. Nobody's paying you to come. You're here tonight. You've got a goal in mind. I don't know if it's to grow in grace. I don't know if it's to see somebody. I don't know if it's to leave here having prayed at the altar. I don't know. But you've got a goal. You wouldn't be here, right? Work, help me out here. You're here because you've got a goal. And you've put through a process today to be here. Put on clothes and you come. You got off work early. Some of you had to eat on the way and skip dinner. You've put together, you've been through a process to just get here tonight. And the goal has been met. So you have goals. You have goals for your family. You have goals for your church ministries. You've got goals to see people saved, I hope. And all these goals. But I want to ask you tonight, these are great goals, but what about the process? What about the process to reach those goals? Hey, that's where I fall short. Hey, I've got a lot of goals. And I get discouraged because I don't reach a whole lot of them. And you know what? I've tried to do this and that, memorize a verse a day, and read my Bible every 6 months, and I fall short. And I fall short in the process, in the trenches, in the warfare. And that's where Satan loves to do battle. And you know what? That's where our flesh will fight us. And that's where the world's against us. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. The product, your goals, require a process. And we're going to see it from Scripture. It's going to jump out at you from 2 Timothy 2. You'll say, wow, that's what Timothy endured. That's why he was successful for the Lord. We have the right spiritual goals tonight. But some of us, we haven't a clue how we're going to reach them. Well, I know everybody in here wants to know their Bible more, but do you have a process? Do you have a daily devotion? Have you thought about structuring it? What have you done to get to your spiritual goals? Think about that. What about our young men that are called to preach? Maybe in the academy, maybe in homeschool. Have you thought about the process? That's a wonderful goal, to surrender to preach. And praise God. I pray somebody would surrender to preach tonight. But what happens in the trenches? Well, you find out there's quite a process involved once you surrender to preach. There's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years of Bible college. And there is quite a bit of persecution. There's quite a bit of suffering. There's quite a bit you're going to do without. And there's quite a bit of sleep you're going to do without. And we lose a lot of good men in the process. I don't think they've ever thought of the process. I don't think they've ever considered it. I don't think they've ever considered the suffering. I don't think they've ever considered the striving and work ethic they're going to need. I don't think they've understood the study that's going to be required. We're going to see those three things in just a minute pop out of Scripture. And it gets real discouraging when you don't have those things and you just finally give up. You finally give up. Again, why do our converts show up once or twice or three times? And then we never see them again. You know, it's a great privilege to baptize, and I love doing that. But it's a sad thing to never see the face of some of those people again. Why is that? The process. The process. Oh, they've got the right goals. Brother Todd, I've never met one in the baptistry that said, oh, we're not coming back. You know, no, we don't like this church. No, they're happy. They're excited. When they get baptized, they've done something for the Lord. And their goals are right on. It's the process. It's what comes next. Again, that salvation didn't take any process. Thank the Lord. Not salvation of the Bible. It's immediate and instantaneous and free for all. But it's that Christian life that's the hard thing. Now, in our society today, are we conditioning ourselves for the process? No siree. We're not conditioning ourselves with instant credit. Gone are the days a family works 20 or 30 years to buy a house. Now you buy it in 20 or 30 days on credit. And zero down. No payment for 24 months. You know what? Instant food. The food, fast food market has flourished. Packaged food has flourished. It's instant now. Well, those days of cooking at home are not quite as prevalent nowadays. Right, amen? What about instant healing? And I'm for healing. I'm not for the kind of Benny Hinn healing, but I'm for medicines and things that work. We desire that. We want that. We beg for that. Remedies for our illnesses and things. Well, we want instant this, instant that. We want instant communication. We want instant sending of letters and messages. We want instant job promotions. Hey, we don't want to wait. Our society's not trained us to wait, be patient, wait on the Lord. No siree, it has not done these things. Now, a lot of these are not bad in and of themselves. Hey, I'm glad for fast food occasionally. I'm glad to have credit available. I like these things. But they've done something. They've helped do something to our mind, to numb us, to take away the need for suffering, to take away the need for waiting and being patient. For some reason, these things have evaporated out of our lives. And we're stuck with a weak, almost a welfare Christianity. You know, I thought of titling this, warfare to welfare. We've gone from warfare in Timothy's day to maybe a welfare Christianity. We want. Boy, God help the visitor that comes and joins the church, and you know what the first thing out of the mouth is? What can Trinity Baptist do for me? God help them. Now you can come here and serve the Lord is what you can do. And find out what God will do for you when you give, and it shall be given unto you. Amen? That's Bible. Question, why do we maybe fantasize about winning the lottery? Now, y'all, I wouldn't do that. Don't lie with me. I have. You probably have too. I can do a lot with $1 million or whatever lottery is. Why? Because it's instant. We don't have to work for it. No process except putting out a whatever it costs to get a lottery ticket. That is all it takes. We like that. Fits our lifestyle. We don't want to suffer and work hard. We like that. Let me give you an illustration. Brother Chris Steele and I were out about 2 or 3 months ago witnessing in Euless. We knocked on a door. Lady came to the door. No sign of standards, no sign of godliness, no sign of anything in that house. It was a wreck. She comes to the door. We hear this a lot. Oh, we like Trinity. Oh, I know about your church. I've been there. And I believe, and I like what y'all are doing there. But I just don't like the process, is what she said. She said, I just don't like how y'all get there. And she was saying she didn't like our standards and how we achieve the product. She didn't like the things that we have to do at Trinity or do for the Lord. She didn't like that, but she liked the product. She liked the product. She liked the fact we were out knocking her door telling her about the Lord. That was okay. It's the process. She didn't like the process of evangelism, of separation, of the Bible, the King James Bible. Amen. That's what she didn't like. And that's where we're headed tonight. The things in the process. The problem is we jump ahead. We make a lofty goal, but we jump ahead and wonder why it doesn't just appear, why it doesn't just happen. I want to know so much more of this book, and I've set goals, and I get real discouraged. But it takes some things. It takes more than just setting a goal to get in this book and learn it. You ever heard someone say, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that? Pretty soon when you don't see a result, are those the kind of people you want to be around and follow? No. Because all they are is visionaries or goal setters. No. Let me give you a quote. Texas Tech, and I don't like Texas Tech, but I'll go ahead and give you a quote. Coach Bobby Knight, y'all have heard of him. I wouldn't have him speak. I wouldn't listen to him. Every other word's a curse word, but he's a good coach. You have to give him that. I guess they have one of the most winning records in college basketball. He said this, and this is profound. I want you to listen to this. I had to listen to it several times, and it has not left me. And this doesn't have any curse words in it. It's one of his few statements. And I'm not going to reach out and hit you like he does his players. He said this. He said, the will to train must be greater than the will to win. Now let that digest. Your will in the process, your will to train, your will to suffer, your will to endure must be greater than your will to win. Again, any sports team, what's your goal? We want to win. If their desire is not greater to train to win, they won't win. They won't win. It's in the trenches. It's in the valley. The victories are wrought and won. Any sports, academy, you want to win the basketball tournaments? Praise the Lord. I don't like to lose. That's not enough to say, oh God, I just want to win. I want to win. I know that's a goal you'll honor. Yes, he will. But about the process? What about the process? Junior and senior camp coming up. Start working. Hope you have been working, selling candy, whatever you're doing, mowing yards. Let's talk about those commitments. I hope every one of you, juniors, seniors, that go to camp, make a commitment, make a decision. But what happens? Oh, we see it every year. Breaks Brother Tom, Miss Christie's heart. Great decisions. Boy, you want to get your life right, get rid of the rock music, and get your right influences, choose the right friends, and it a lot of times doesn't last. Well, you have the right goal, but you don't have a process in place. You're not willing to endure. You're not willing to strive for that goal. Maybe you're not willing to study and get in this book, which has the answers to every question and problem. Let me give you three things tonight. We're going to go right back to Scripture and stay in 2 Timothy. So if you are still there, good. If not, find 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, look at verse 5 with me. Look at verse 5. I want you to pay attention to this word strive. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. This was an example Paul gave of athletics back then. Maybe the Greek games. Maybe this was wrestling. Maybe this was track. But the word strive here means to agonize. And strive in our vernacular, in our language, means to struggle, to work hard, to endure, to push it, to give it 100%. an earnest effort. What was Paul telling Timothy? To strive, to work hard, to have a work ethic towards his goals, to work, to strive, and we'll see that other places in Scripture. Let me give you a few areas to strive in. First, strive in your labor. Strive in your labor, your job, your school, whatever you do. Again, Academy kids, this message, homeschoolers, is for you. Strive in your work. Strive in your schoolwork. If you don't strive in your schoolwork, do you think you're going to get out and get a job at 18, 19 and strive? It doesn't happen. Learn to strive. Learn to strive in your work. Colossians 1:29 says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily." Colossians 3:23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily." Maybe strive. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Strive in your labor. Strive in witnessing. Strive in witnessing. We'll see that in Scripture. Romans 15:20, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel." Strive in your witnessing. Many times I haven't in my witnessing. I feel ashamed that I'll give up. I'll throw in the towel. I won't even ask them to read the tract. I'll just hand it to them. Strive in your witnessing. What about strive in your prayers? Sunday night, will you get alone? Find that secret place. Strive for that treasure. Amen. I love that message. Well, that's done me some good. Ever since then, in my prayers, I want to find that treasure. I want to find that treasure. God has something for me. It's not going to come with a 10-second dinner prayer. No, it's going to come striving. It's going to come striving in that secret place for that treasure. So strive in your prayers. Romans 15:30 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers." Strive together with me in your prayers. Here's another thing. Strive for goals. What did Paul mean when he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus"? What's that mark? That's the Christian life. That's pleasing the Lord and Savior Jesus. Press toward your goals. Strive for your goals. See, America has replaced striving with a welfare mentality, with a give me, and what are you going to do for me mentality. We need some old-fashioned, "Here am I, Lord." We need some old-fashioned Isaiah, "Here am I, Lord." We need some Jeremiah to weep over this thing and strive. We need what Paul said. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That shows a very big attitude to strive in the work. And we can apply that in your 2007 Christianity here in Arlington, Texas. Show me a leader in the Bible that was successful, and I'll show you a leader that strove for excellence for Christ. I'll show you a leader. Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with thy might." Strive. Whatever you do, strive. And be successful in it for the Lord, for His glory. Strive. Paul taught Timothy how to strive. That's part of the process. That wasn't a goal. That was in everything. Strive. Now look with me in verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness." 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Hey, I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If you haven't made that commitment, that goal, come up to this altar tonight. Tell the Lord you want to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. That's why He called you. That's why He saved you, to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Look with me at verse 9 through 12, and I want you to see this word "suffer" over and over again. "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us." If we suffer. If we suffer. Now, I know nobody's looking forward to this part of the message. It's about suffering. And I don't like to suffer. I don't like to suffer an illness. I don't like to see my family suffer. I don't like to suffer financial hardships. I don't like to suffer friendships that don't work. I don't like to suffer persecution. Neither do you. But God's got a lot to say about suffering. Jesus suffered the ultimate. And we're not going to be conformable unto Jesus Christ until we understand this thing called suffering. Suffer what? Maybe suffer in your health. Maybe suffer financially. Maybe suffer misrepresentation on your character. Maybe a lawsuit. Maybe you get hit by a car, a driver that doesn't have any insurance. You're going to suffer a little bit. You're going to suffer. What about a death? What about a tragedy? Larry Booth today. That's some suffering, folks. That's some suffering. How do we suffer? Let me give you a few things how we suffer. We talked about how to strive. Now I'm going to talk to you about how to suffer. How to suffer. And some of these are going to surprise you. When I study this, it's profound. This is Christianity. First of all, suffer wrongfully. Suffer wrongfully. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. If you get a hold of this concept, it will change your life. The next time you're wronged, the next time you're accused, the next time you're found guilty or not guilty, and you're accused of something, this verse can change your life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Verse 19, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering." Hey, that's thankworthy to God. That's thankworthy. That's praiseworthy to God if you'll suffer wrongfully. What about Joseph? He suffered wrongfully at the hand of his 11 brothers. What about Job? I'd say he suffered wrongfully. He didn't really feel like he deserved all that. Maybe his friends did, but he didn't. What about Paul? And what about Jesus Christ? He suffered wrongfully on that cross for you and I and paid the ultimate price. What about suffering wrongfully? What about suffering patiently? Look with me, suffering patiently in verse 20, 1 Peter 2, verse 20. "For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently?" What glory is it if you're punished for doing wrong? There really is none. You get a speeding ticket, you pay it, you're not bringing God glory, you're obeying the law. You get in trouble in the academy, you do your detention, you're not bringing God glory, you're obedience. You're paying for the penalty. But listen, "But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." It's acceptable when you take it well and you're wronged. Suffering. Suffering. We don't like to suffer. Thirdly, suffer joyfully. Oh boy, this hurts. This hurts. Suffer joyfully. Try getting on your knees thanking God when your wife's diagnosed with cancer or something. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. Suffer joyfully. Hebrews 12, 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the what? Joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God." How about that? For the joy that was set before Him. Now what we endure, what we'll suffer, doesn't compare to Christ marching up to Calvary. It just doesn't, folk. Yet for the joy that was set before Him. Finally, suffer unashamedly. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Suffer unashamedly. Some of you probably know this scripture I'm going to, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." He wasn't ashamed to suffer for Christ. You think he was ashamed in that prison in Rome, awaiting death by the hands of Nero? No, he was suffering for the Lord. He had joy. He was writing letters. He was penning letters, folks. He had some joy in his suffering. In his suffering. I hope you picked up a letter in the back from the Thompson brothers. It'll touch your heart. I don't know if Caleb or Joshua, one is serving a 14-year sentence, one a 26-year sentence in the penitentiaries in Texas for claimedly excessively beating a child when they didn't. Now, they got a little forceful with him. He needed it. But you know what? They're suffering. And you read those letters, you're going to see there's a lot of joy in their lives. Caleb, I believe, said one of the most profound things. He said, "Leave me in prison, Lord, if it brings you more glory. I don't want parole if you'll receive more glory out of it, dear Lord." That was his letter, and it was profound. Suffering wrongfully. By the way, Christ counts us worthy to suffer. Christ counts us worthy to suffer. And we should desire the fellowship of His sufferings. Now, thirdly, 2 Timothy 2:15, you already know what this third one is. Begins with an S. Study, study, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right, there it is again, not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, study. Oh, we know we need to study this book. But you know our three enemies don't want us in this book. My flesh has never once wanted me in this book. The devil's never once wanted me to open these pages. Now, the devil didn't mind if I opened NIV and got off the beaten path and got off the truth. But it's this book right here, folk. And you know what? The world doesn't want you in this book. Pretty soon, it's going to be hard to find one of these at Martell's or all these Bible stores. King James, God's Word, preserved. Study, study the Bible. Every answer to every worthwhile question is found in the Bible. It's there. We just have to study to show ourselves approved. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Give attendance to these things. Psalm 119, I could read a lot of psalms in there. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." On and on and on and on, the Bible. If we don't study it, we don't have that light. We're going to grasp from someplace and we're going to get an eye full of darkness. 2 Timothy 3:16, you know it well. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction." Those things are the trenches. Those are the process. Instruction, correction. I need those things. And you do too. Study the Bible. What else? Study great men and women of God. You know what? Study Dr. Smith. Study Dr. Jack Hiles. Study their lives. You know what I did in college? Here's something for you students. Study folks that make A's. Now don't be envious of them and jealous and make fun. Study them. Ask them occasionally, how do you have a 4.0? What are you doing? Study them. The Bible says study to show thyself approved. It didn't say specifically study the Bible, although we know that's what we need to study. It said study. Study great men of God and women of God. Study sports figures. Now, I don't want you to study them for their doctrine, but I like looking at old Tiger Woods, and I like watching Michael Jordan back when he used to play. Study those folks. Take some good from them. Don't take everything. Don't go to the casinos and gamble like Michael Jordan, but take the good. Take the good. Study. Study. Study your profession. Study and learn. That's what college does for you. Study your profession. And let me give you a warning about study. 2 Timothy 3:7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. If all you do is study, you're going to be warped. You're going to be out of balance. Well, if you don't combine that with some striving for a goal, for some suffering, if all you do is study, you're going to be a little bit warped. I'm afraid after these Virginia Tech murders, which were horrible, I'm afraid there's going to be a lot more study after that thing over what happened instead of just realizing it's sin. You know, you can stop when you study that thing, it ends with sin. That's why that thing happened. It doesn't need a lot of studies. But yeah, we'll spend millions probably on studying gun control and these things. Watch too much study. Now, I don't mean you can study the Bible too much. But don't get me wrong. These things must be there in the process to reach your product, to reach your goal, to reach your potentials, to reach whatever it is you're striving for. Let me ask you, what is your desired product tonight or goal tonight? Let's think about that. Young people, maybe it's grades. Young men, let me tell you this. All the way around this church, there's thousands of dollars waiting for you in lawn care this summer. I hope you're already on to lawn care. It's a great way to earn some money. You know what lawn care is going to take? It's going to take more than you just saying, Dad, Mom, I want to start a lawn care business. That's a great goal, right? That's going to take quite a process. It's going to take some suffering out in the heat. It's going to take some suffering. You're not going to be able to hang out with your friends as much. You're not going to be able to go to Six Flags as much. It's going to take some suffering. Now, this is a secular example, but God honors work. It's going to take some striving. I pushed a mower. I started pushing a mower when I was 9, 10, 11 years old. Pushed it for many years. I went to college, and that was one of the big reasons I went to college, so I'd never have to push a mower again. I pushed it in the Texas heat day in, day out. I strived. And you know what? I studied. You say, what did you study? I studied other lawn care businesses. I studied the best equipment. There has to be some study there to be successful. Now, that's just an example. Adults, what are your goals? What about a godly marriage? You better get in this book and study what the Word of God says about a godly marriage. And you're going to have to suffer some things in marriage. It's not all going to come easy. You're going to have to strive. You're going to strive. What about on the job? What about that job promotion? Hey, what about our friend day goal? That's going to take some suffering. That's going to take some fasting. I've never fasted where I didn't feel a little bit of suffering. You know what that's going to take? It's going to take some striving. I don't see yellow cards under every green card out here. It's going to take some striving. You know, it's going to take some studying, studying what I need to do, getting in this Word of God that will convict you and cause you. These men that chose a goal of 50, Brother Todd, Brother Quinn, Brother Clovis, you know what? Hey, that's only the beginning, folks. That's a good goal, and I'm glad they chose it. I'm praying for them to reach that goal. But those men are smart. It's in the trenches, folks. They're not going to reach that goal. They're not going to come close without, guess what, striving, working hard, and they've been working hard without a plan. They're not going to get there without some suffering. Every person you see them bring, if they bring 40, 50, praise the Lord, there's probably 100, 150, and a lot of heartbreaks out there, a lot of suffering, a lot that we don't see in church. We see the fruit. We don't see the disasters. We don't see all the marriages that are broken up and things. There's some suffering when you get in the trenches. And you know what? Some study. You know what? Some study. I've watched Brother Todd. He's methodical about it. He calls on days. He visits on days. He follows up, and he runs a van, and he's methodical and studied. And oh, he's in the Bible. And I'm just saying, what's your product tonight? What do you want? What are your desires? What about the process to reach them? What about the process? If it doesn't involve striving, working hard, if it doesn't involve suffering, be ready to suffer as a Christian. You're worthless as a Christian if you're not willing to suffer any. Yet the Savior that you trusted for salvation suffered a gruesome death and hung on that cross for you. Amen. You're not worthy to be called a Christian. And what about study? What about just plain old study? You need to be in this Word daily, studying the Word of God, and meditating on it, praying over it. Be in the Word of God. William Barrett Travis. Now, if you're a Texan, that should ring a bell. William Barrett Travis. Remember the Alamo. Great man. I'm having to go back and learn Texas history. I was the product of public schools in Everman, Fort Worth, Texas, and I didn't learn anything in history. Partly my fault. And you know what? I'm going back and I'm learning some things about Texas history. And I'm learning about this man, William Barrett Travis, at age 26, gave up his life on March 6th, 1836, as commanding officer of the Texas Regulars. Now let's just consider William Barrett Travis. He was all these things in the process. Oh, he had a great goal, the independence of Texas, and to fight the Spanish armies that were invading and trying to take over the Republic of Texas. Let me just read a quote to you, and then I'm going to show you. He strove, oh my soul. Did he ever strive? He suffered. He suffered by his life. And he was a studied man. He was a lawyer by training. And he went into that Alamo knowing his enemy. He knew the fort he was going to defend. He knew ammunition. He knew supplies. He knew it. He was studied. Let me just read to you. Some of these you'll know. You've heard. He says this as part of his quote, one of his last letters he wrote before that Alamo was stormed by the Spanish and defeated. I shall never surrender or retreat. Then I call on you in the name of liberty, of patriotism, and everything dear to American character to come to our aid with all dispatch. The enemy is receiving reinforcements daily and will no doubt increase to 3,000 or 4,000 in 4 or 5 days. If this call is neglected, I am determined to sustain myself as long as possible and to die like a soldier who never forgets what is due to his honor and that of his country, victory or death. Victory or death. I see just a bit of suffering there. I see just a bit of striving there. I see some knowledge and understanding of his country, of patriotism, and of everything dear to America. And I like this. I'll add this because I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but he knew the Lord a little bit. He said at the end of that letter, he said, the Lord is on our side. When the enemy appeared in sight, we had not 3 bushels of corn. We have since found in deserted houses 80 or 90 bushels and got into the walls 30 or 40 head of beeves, cattle, meat. Isn't that neat? He knew that God was working. I'm just saying, William Barrett Travis, he strove, folks, he strove. He gave his life for this state of Texas. He suffered death, and he knew the situation. We've got to get away from quick fixes tonight. We've got to get away from Band-Aids. We've got to get away from being discouraged every time we don't meet a goal in our Christian lives. We've got to get interested in the process. We've got to get and make decisions based on the process. Are we going to suffer for Jesus Christ, for His sake? Are we going to strive? Are we going to study? Those things are throughout the pages of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. In fact, that's how Paul said, Timothy, you're going to defeat all the agnostics and atheists and all the apostates and all the folks that were leaving sound doctrine. He was going to do it by striving and studying and suffering, just as Paul was suffering. Beware. You know, in Iraq, we want a quick fix. We want our troops back immediately. We've suffered less casualties there than in any known war that I'm aware of. And we're complaining. Every casualty we suffer is a great loss to the United States of America. But you know what? Our mentality to go fight a battle for years, that's kind of dissipated. What's happened in America? Beware of a warfare to welfare mentality. Beware of sticking your hand out there. Well, you want the Christian life. You want the product. And I'm glad. I do too. But the process of striving, the process of suffering, and the process of studying. Watch the big church syndrome. Maybe we have some new members here tonight. Watch the syndrome of, I'm going to join Trinity Baptist. It's moving. It's such a good momentum. I'm just going to get in there. My family's going to be right in the Lord. And my kids are going to grow up right. And this and that is going to happen. Just because I'm part of a big church that's moving forward. No, you can't do it without striving, without suffering, and without studying. You can't do it apart from those things. Are you willing to strive? Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to study? Many more things are within our reach, I believe, if we practice these things. Let me show you. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things? I wonder. I wonder what all these things are. If I would just strive and suffer and study, what are all these things? Wow, I'd like to know them. I'd like to see them, some of that treasure. I'd like to know those things. All these things shall be added to you. Let's wrap this up. 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul said again, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul strove hard. He suffered much. And I believe he studied all the time. Just think, he penned the most books in the New Testament. Oh, he studied. Victory does not come without war. And I don't just mean physical war. I mean a victory in your life. whether it's a victory over sin, whether it's drug abuse, pornography, you name it. You name what bad sin. You're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to strive. You're going to have to study and get in the Word of God to come to get over that, to reach the product that you want. And I know you, your product tonight is the same product mine is, and that's a successful Christian life for the Lord, or you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be serving the Lord if I didn't want to please Him. Are you ready and willing to strive for your goals? Are you ready and willing to suffer to reach your goals? And are you ready and willing to study to reach your goals? I'm going to leave you with that thought. Christ said, I can do all, or Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheth me. Hey, He's willing and ready. By the way, how does He want you to appear to Him? Weak. He wants you to appear suffering, striving, and needy. Oh, and desperate for His power. That's how Paul made it. John said, I must decrease while He increases. That's a secret to the Christian life. Get into the suffering. Get into the striving and study. Those three things, suffering, striving, and studying, are they in your life? If they're missing, they need to be there. Or you're not going to reach your goals. You're going to be discouraged. And we won't reach our goal on Friend Day if we don't strive. We don't suffer a little bit. And we don't study. Those three things, are they in your life? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time. And I just pray, Lord, You'd take control of the invitation to follow in a few moments.